Ryan Hughley wrote, "They say breakfast is the most important meal of the day. While I prefer to start most mornings with my standard 3 eggs scrambled and a cup of coffee, I must respectfully disagree with this popular sentiment. The single most critical meal you and I should consume on a daily basis consists of a focused time with God in His Word and in prayer." Can somebody say amen right there? I agree with that, brother. I'm reminded of Dr. Elijah Thompson out of Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. He would have me up to preach once or twice a year for many years, and we had many wonderful times of fellowship together. He traveled to the Philippines with me to preach the gospel and to hold crusades and conferences, and was a great blessing to me and my family before he went on home to be with the Lord. And he was adamant about it. No Bible, no breakfast. No Bible, no breakfast. No Bible, he would hold his Bible, old King James Version, he'd hold it up. No Bible, no breakfast. And he meant that thing. And we would have conferences and meetings, and he would go down the hotel hallway. No Bible, no breakfast, preachers. No Bible, no breakfast, preachers. Amen. And he was an early riser, and most preachers would be still asleep. He's talking about no Bible, no breakfast. Let's pray together. Holy Father God, we praise you and we thank you for your love, your mercy, your grace, and your favor. And Holy Father God, you can join responsibly with me in a fast-paced fashion. Holy Father God, we individually confess our sins, our failures, and our faults unto you. Where our hearts have not been right, for Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive us. Have mercy and grace upon us and forgive us of our sins as we from our hearts by your grace forgive others. Crush and crucify our flesh and the old man within us all and fill us all this morning as born again ones with the fullness and the power, the unction and the anointing of your Holy Spirit. Understanding, Lord, that we cannot do anything without you. Deliver us from temptation, evil, and sin. Throughout this Saturday, a day that we have never seen before, it is a new day and a day that we shall never see again. So, Lord, help us to be mindful of what we say, what we think, and what we do, and what we participate in. And how we do it, and the motivation behind what we do. Create within us a pure heart and a right spirit. And Holy Father God, we pray that you would deliver us from temptation, evil, and sin. Grant us your grace and the power of your Holy Spirit to live right, think right, and do that which is pleasing in your sight. Holy Father God in heaven, help us to pray, to pray, to seek your face, to turn from our wicked ways, and to humble ourselves. Lord, help us to cheerfully give, Lord, back to you and to other ministries, through other ministries and churches, to help those in the church and outside of the church, especially those who are going through difficulties with hurricanes across the southern portion of our country as well as the islands of the sea. Help us to do our part. We cast all care upon you today because we know that you care for us. So help us not to go through this day worrying and fretting and wondering about this and that. Lord, give us your peace that passeth all understanding, and your joy unspeakable, and your holy serenity and tranquility of mind and heart throughout this day. And Holy Father God, we thank you for salvation, spiritual, family, financial, material, physical, life, protection, and provision blessings down through the years by faith in you. And we give you the glory, praise, and honor for that. And we pray that you continue to show us that favor and bless us in the ways that you've blessed us in the past. And Holy Father God, indeed, we give you the glory for your favor, your mercy, your love, and grace. We know we don't deserve it. But Lord, we pray that through your Holy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, you will continue to shine that favor light on us as we journey through this sin-cursed world on the way to heaven to be with you because of the shed blood of your Holy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, his death, his burial, and resurrection. And we pray in his name, Jesus Christ, and for his sake, amen. Ladies and gentlemen, please join us in reading our devotional Bible passage from the Word of God, Psalm 68, verses 22 through 28. The Lord said, I will bring again from Bashan, I will bring my people again from the depths of the sea, that thy foot may be dipped in the blood of thine enemies, and the tongue of thy dogs in the same. They have seen thy goings, O God, even the goings of my God, my King, in the sanctuary. The singers went before, the players on instruments followed after. Among them were the damsels playing with the timbrels. Bless ye God in the congregations, even the Lord from the fountain of Israel. There is little Benjamin with their ruler, the princes of Judah and their council, the princes of Zebulun and the princes of Naphtali. Thy God hath commanded thy strength, strengthen, O God, that which thou hast wrought for us. And somebody ought to say amen right there. Please join us in praying for the estates and praying for government leaders and church leaders, media leaders, and others. We do this based upon 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, that says, I exhort therefore that first of all supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. Holy Father God, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are well aware how that the country is pretty much split on our president, but we as Christians must pray for the president regardless of what people think and what even we think. And we pray for President Donald Trump and his family and his administration. We pray for each member of the White House staff. We pray for the leaders of federal agencies. We pray for salvation, spiritual, family, life, protection, and provision blessings upon all of these people. We pray that you would give them wisdom, knowledge, understanding, and insight, leadership, guidance, and direction, as you have apparently done regarding these massive hurricanes that have hit our country. I think that the president and all would agree, even people who don't like him will agree, that he and his administration has handled these huge hurricanes and matters that appertain to the hurricanes in a wonderful, seamless manner. And we give you the glory, praise, and honor, because no man can handle what has happened to this country. And we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, help people to confess sin and to repent, for this is just a warning of much worse things coming down the road. We pray for all members of Congress with these same blessings, all governors, mayors, police chiefs, and sheriffs, all military leaders, the leaders of all nations around the world. And Holy Father God, we pray for church leadership. Save those church leaders who are religious but lost. They have no clue who you are. They just go through the religious motions and they are not saved. They are not born again and they're doing great damage to the church. We pray for those who are saved who need to be revived. We pray that you'd revive all of us again. If you don't revive us again, we will be men and women most miserable. We pray for current events around the world, not to inform you, just to pray to you in obedience to you to ask for help for sinful people as we are. We pray for the salvation, protection, and provision and comfort for those in the Caribbean, all across the Caribbean, as it has been slain by the hurricanes in by every measure. And we pray, Lord, not only for those who have been impacted by Irma and Harvey, but those who have been devastated this past week by Hurricane Maria. And Lord, you know all about it. Right now, there's a dam breaking in Puerto Rico, and we pray that you would protect the people and comfort the people during this very difficult time. We pray also for the media, that they would report the truth, that they would not be the news and stop being the news, and that they would not report false news, because when they send a wrong signal, it impacts the whole nation and the world. And we pray now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for all of the prayer requests that have come in. We have hundreds of prayer requests, so we are just going to pray over a few. We pray for Arun. Please protect his wife, who is pregnant, and have her to give birth in a healthy manner. Have him to find favor in the sight of his superiors on his job. Lead him in his career and help him to make a good salary. We pray for Martha. Please help her to repent of all her sins in her life and bless her with a child. We pray for Jordan. Please bless his wife, Eleanor. Give her spiritual and emotional healing. Help her to open fully, to surrender her life to you. Break all generational curses and ungodly soul ties in her life. Do that in the life of all Christians who have had those issues. And Holy Father God, we pray for those who have been saved through this ministry. We just name a few: Isaac, John, and Franz. And we pray that you'll help these to grow in the faith. We pray for those who have recommitted their lives to you, Lord Jesus. And through this ministry, we pray for Israel, Francis, and Harry. We commit these souls into your hands. Let your will be done in their lives as well as in our lives. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, and for his sake, amen. Now, ladies and gentlemen, the devotional reading for today is titled The Sacred Necessity of Prayer, Part 1, by Charles Haddon Spurgeon. Colossians chapter 4, verse 2 says, continue in prayer. Amen, somebody. Continue in prayer. Charles Haddon Spurgeon says, it is interesting to remark how large a portion of sacred writ is coupled, or rather occupied, with the subject of prayer. My, my, my. Now he's getting on a subject that I have keen interest in. Let me repeat what he just said to you. It is interesting to remark how large a portion of sacred writ, the Holy Word of God, is occupied with the subject of prayer. Either in furnishing examples regarding prayer, enforcing precepts regarding prayer, or pronouncing promises through prayer. We scarcely open the Bible before we read, then began men to call upon the name of the Lord. Amen, somebody. And just as we are about to close the volume, pardon me, and just as we are about to close the volume, the amen of an earnest supplication meets our ear. I believe he's talking about Saint John in the book of Revelation when he prayed at the end, Lord, please come quickly. I'm not sure, but I believe that's who he's talking about. Instances are plentiful. Here we find a wrestling Jacob. There a Daniel who prayed three times a day, my God, help us to pray. And elsewhere a David who with all his heart called upon his God. On the mountain we see Elias. In the dungeon, Paul and Silas. We have multitudes of commands and myriads of promises. What does this teach us but the sacred importance and necessity of prayer? Can somebody say amen? May I encourage you today to pray all day long, whether you feel like it or not. Pray without ceasing. We may be certain that whatever God has made prominent in his word, he intended to be conspicuous in our lives. My, my, my. Only Spurgeon can put it like this. If he has said much about prayer, it is because he knows we have much need of it. How true, how true. He goes on to say, so deep are our necessities that until we are in heaven, we must not cease to pray. Say it, C-H-S. Charles Haddon Spurgeon. We give God the glory for him because he just said a mouthful. Amen, somebody. Let's do what he said and let's pray. Holy Father God, we praise you and we thank you for this entire devotional time together. Lord, we do not take it for granted. And we thank you, Lord, for your servant, Charles Haddon Spurgeon, who you have used mightily down through not only his lifetime, but through the years. And you certainly used him this morning to remind us on a beautiful Saturday morning to pray without ceasing and to not stop praying until we get to heaven. Help us to do that. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, and for his sake, amen. Now, beloved, before I leave you, being that my main calling is an evangelist, and so I must, in the words of Paul, magnify my office, I'm going to do that. My main job is not to have devotionals. I have devotional so that I can have the power of the Holy Spirit to evangelize the lost. That's my main calling. That's what I do for a living, if you will. If you do not yet know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ has a word for you. He says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, and that whosoever believeth in him should not perish." Perish where? Perish in hell. For that's where you're going. Nobody's trying to scare you. Nobody is trying to upset you. If you keep on living and keep on sinning, in fact, you've already sinned enough. If you don't trust Christ as Savior, you're going to hell. It makes no difference whether you're black or white or red or yellow. It makes no difference at all who you are, how educated you are, how much money you have, how pretty you are, how handsome you are, whatever the case might be, how fit you are, how fat you are, you're going to hell. But have everlasting life. If you believe on Christ, you can go to heaven to be with God and Jesus forever. The Bible says in Romans 10, 9 and 13 that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shall believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, you shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Pardon me. So, beloved, if you believe in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he is the Lamb of God, if you will, the sacrificial Lamb of God who shed his blood on the cross for you. His precious and pure and holy blood was buried, died and was buried and rose again. That is the gospel. Jesus died on the cross for your sins. You must look to him for your salvation. You must believe in him, believe on him for your salvation. And he will save your soul. Pray and ask him to save you today. I'll be glad to lead you in that prayer. Excuse me. Follow along phrase by phrase and mean it from your heart. Holy Father God, I realize that I am a sinner because I have sinned against you. I acknowledge my sinfulness and my sins. For Jesus Christ's sake, please have mercy and grace upon me and forgive me of all of my sins, all of my lies, all of my living a lie, all of my disobedience, my rebelliousness, my stubbornness, my meanness, my racism, my hatred, my stealing, my dishonesty. Lord God in heaven, for Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive me of all of my sins. As I now believe with all of my heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God who took away the sins of the world. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and save my soul and change my life. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to repent of my sins past and help me to turn from my old life and to follow you in the new life. In Jesus Christ's name I pray, and for his sake, amen. Now, beloved, if you just trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and you prayed that prayer with me and you meant it from your heart, I declare to you that based upon the Word of God, you are now saved from sin and hell, and you are on your way to heaven. Welcome to the family of God. I want to congratulate you on doing the most important thing in life, and that is believing on the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ, please go to GospelLightSociety.com and read my pamphlet, What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. Until next time, my beloved, may the Lord bless you and keep you, is my prayer.
Like you.